the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. These are the droids you're looking for. Brady and Lang in the morning on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Pull up jumper. Got it! Rudy Gay knocks it down. 109-108 Toronto. Pull up jumper in the air for the win. No good. Toronto wins it. The Raptors get a stop. Rudy Gay delivers again.
Paul Jones excited. He only gets this excited when he tries to tell me that Michael Jordan is the best player ever and LeBron James just benefiting from the era he's playing in. Honestly,
I can't believe the Twitter fight you had with our friend Jonesy for like 2 hours.
I'm going to put him over my knee. I really am. He's a bit older dude than me, so the bones might creak a little bit. He's probably got better knees than me. He's got more vertical. For being, decade and stuff older. But anyway, I'll find a way. I'll get him. LeBron James last night was incredible. Again, he's now shot to 70 of his past 96 from the field. Is going to set an all-time mark easily for a shooting percentage unless he absolutely goes in the tank. But, yeah, we're excited here. 109 for the Raptors, 108 for the Denver Nuggets. And they get a victory. We'll talk more about it. Also, the magic words of Jose Bautista are pretty intriguing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Name that Leaf coming up. The Sabres lost again last night. I want to get to that with a loss against Buffalo. Game was on Sportsnet East. Reading the Buffalo News review of it by Mike Harrington, who covers the team. Talks about the undisciplined penalties, a lot of coverage gaffes. Can't get traffic against Craig Anderson. Mike noted the amount of saves, 42, but the implication is they were easy saves. It's still 42 save shutouts, a 42 save shutout. But the Sabres are now 5-8-1. 11 points in 14 games. They're home this weekend, Friday night against Boston. Did they play Boston like 11 times? Is this like the Hamilton Bulldogs and Toronto Marlies?
At least 11
times.
They have
an 18-game series.
Yeah, nice team to play 11 times, too.
And Sunday against Pittsburgh. So that's fun. You're trying to get things together, and Boston and Pittsburgh roll in. Many feel the bell is tolling, but we had this conversation last year, and we had it the year before that, about Lindy Ruff. And the best way someone put it to me on Twitter last night, BradyFan590, JimLang590, Farwell590, by the way, on Twitter, is we absolutely, this is like just a fan. We love his contributions here as a player and a coach. Can't thank him enough for them. But we're all done with him. Everyone loves what he's done for hockey in Buffalo, and everyone doesn't want him to be the coach anymore. That's the best way they can put it.
I mean, Lindy Ruff can never say to anyone when it's finally time, Greg, he didn't have a chance in Buffalo. He's been there since 97. They went to the playoffs 8 times with him as the head coach. Never won the Stanley Cup final. They've had their chances. They had their heartbreaks. They've had their ups and downs. But he had his run. And if it's time, it's time. You look at the other long-tenured coaches in sports, guys like Greg Popovich and Bill Belichick, they've got a fistful of titles in their back pocket. And that's one of the reasons they're still there. They're still good, and they still have those championships. But for the Sabres and their fans, they don't have that to hang on to in Ruff.
And it's not fair, but perception blends into reality sometime. And when you have that ring, it's so simple, isn't it? Randy Carlyle, Stanley Cup ring. Ron Wilson, no Stanley Cup ring. You can compare talent levels. I never saw Ron Wilson with a team with J.S. Jaguar, Chris Pronger, Scott Niedermeyer, Teemu Selanne, Ryan Getzlaf, Corey Perry. We can go on and on. Brad May and George Parros. I mean, got a team. You have to have team tough. It's not going to. So anyway, but the Sabres have missed the playoffs 3 of the last 5 years. They are 6-14. They've won 6 of the last 20 playoff games. Okay. Had a lead in the last 2 playoff series they were in against the Flyers and the Bruins. And I don't know when Terry Pegula, like we talked about, has spent money on this team and given Darcy Regier looks bad for the Christian Ehrhoff signing because of the money and the Villalano signing because of the money. But he restructured this team this year with toughness, and here's Steve Ott. Here's a couple other players that we like. We're going to move Derek Roy up, more finesse. We're going to bring in some grit and some toughness. And it's not making a difference. And the question is, guys, do they have an elite? Is Ryan Miller an elite goalie, and they're wasting away his best years by not putting teams in front of him? Curtis Joseph never had that issue. Curtis Joseph could never look behind him and say, or look in front of him and say, I got a pretty good team up there with Toronto and Detroit the couple years he was there. Hasek could say it with a lot of his teams. Waugh could say it. Belfour could say it. We may not be able to say that with Ryan Miller.
And it's a bit of a flawed roster right now. I mean, it was a little shocking to see Tyler Myers a healthy scratch the other day. He's supposed to be one of the bright young linchpins to the roster, to the franchise, and they make him a healthy scratch. And eventually, no matter what players you put together, sometimes the formula and the chemistry and everything just doesn't work, and it is time. Lindy Ruff had, what, the equivalent of three careers as a head coach since he's been in Buffalo? If you think about the lifespan of a head coach in the NHL, he's had his time. He's had a fantastic run.
So I'll ask you guys, do you think he will make it? Will he make it through this season?
Yeah,
They've been incredibly loyal to him, and he and Darcy were geared to each other and to them.
He'll make it to the end of the season, but I think they might make a change in the offseason.
It's what's so shocking to me, and you nailed it, Craig. I hadn't really considered it until you put it out on Twitter last night. And then you start looking back, and I mean, you mentioned Randy Carlyle earlier. He was a guy that was fired last year, quickly replaced by Bruce Boudreau in Anaheim. Now, of course, and there's a cup final or a cup winner that was let go. You look at Paul Maurice, fired last year as a cup finalist. You look at Boudreau, who was sitting second place in his division with the Washington Capitals when he was let go last year. So many other teams have showed so much less patience. And the only thing you can take from Lindy Ruff is it for nostalgic purposes. Those first 4 years in Buffalo where you got the cup finalist, that you remember that and think, this is the guy that took us there. But the loyalty at some point, it's about, we hear it all the time, it's a results-oriented business. I don't think he lasts the season. I really don't. Not the way it's going in Buffalo.
And 1999 is a long time ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's a long time ago. But it's fine that he had that nice run, but...
But didn't that feel more a fluke making the final? I felt like the team to win was either the 06 team that lost to Carolina in the conference finals that was so injured, or it was there was more talent. You can't do this. I would take the 2007 Sabres, match them up against the 99 Sabres, and I think the 7 Sabres would smash the 99 Sabres. There just weren't that many good teams in the East. Toronto benefited from that. Toronto, to me, was better in 02 than 99. And Toronto just happened to, you covered these teams, they happened to get through. The West was like the NBA West now, and the East then was like the NBA East. And from a 99 to about 2002, it was Dallas, Colorado, and Detroit. Those were the three best teams in hockey to me for about a five-year span. They really were.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I mean, the Leafs blew it against Carolina in 02.
Yes, they did.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. And full credit to Paul Maurice, and maybe Jeff O'Neill's best goal was a goal he scored.
He was great that year, O'Neill was. In that
series.
The BBC line, it was ridiculous. But yeah, but I think Buffalo would probably end up winning in 07. Yeah, and look, we look at that with the Leafs right now. Look, Carlisle's getting to me, too much credit for some strange things that are happening. I know he's a very good coach, but we're overdoing it. Players are stepping up. They're getting great goaltending. He's pressing the right buttons, but the players still have to go out and play. He took an Anaheim team. Everybody returned intact, and they got drummed in six games by the Stars when they were trying to repeat in 08. Burke leaves that fall. They win one more playoff round in the next 4 years, and they decide to get rid of Carlisle. One playoff round in 4 years with, again, Perry, Getzlaff, mostly Jaguar there. Niedermeyer played until 2011. All these, Pronger left, they traded Pronger after 2 years, but that was totally unacceptable. To win one more playoff round with that team after winning the Cup, I thought that team could keep going.
And honestly, Greg, when it comes to the time where Lindy Ruff has let go in Buffalo, I'm not sure if we're ever going to see another head coach in the NHL coach that long as he did.
Yeah.
I mean, with the current climate, like, as you just outlined.
Barry Trotz is right with him, though. Barry Trotz is, we never talk about it, and they finally have started winning playoff rounds in Nashville, but what would it take for Barry Trotz? And then Mike Babcock is third. Like, think about that. You got two guys that have coached for 17 years and nobody else has coached for 10.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, it's such an anomaly now in professional sports, especially in hockey. A guy like Babcock, you think should have be a coach for life, but you know eventually he'll be let go.
Or he'll want to go. He'll want a new challenge. He'll want to go somewhere else. Will Alain Vigneault want to go somewhere else? In Vancouver, if Alain Vigneault goes out in the first round, I think he's gone this year. I do. There were a lot of people thinking he was gone last year when they lost to the eventual Stanley Cup champions. You could still make the case the Canucks were the second or third best team in hockey. They just happened to lose to the best in the first round. We're time to do Name That Leaf. Winner gets a pair of tickets. See the Maple Leafs play the Ottawa Senators. They're playing two straight Saturdays, but this one's at home. This time it counts. Well, okay, they both count. But this Saturday at home against the Ottawa Senators, Jim Lang's got the clues for Name That Leaf. Now, I don't know who it is, sort of, and Farwell definitely doesn't know who it is.
He is a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Gordie Howe.
He played for the Leafs for three seasons.
Mark Messier. Oh, he didn't play.
And had back-to-back 20-goal seasons in his first 2 years in Toronto. And he played his final NHL game as a member of the St. Louis Blues. Who is that Leaf?
All right, throw them out there again. 416-870-0590, star 590.
Hockey Hall of Fame, played 3 years for Toronto, had back-to-back 20-goal seasons his first 2 years with the Leafs, and he ended his career with the St. Louis Blues.
Okay, there you go. Name that Leaf, 416-870-0590. We'll grab a winner. We'll send you to Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. We will also send you to spring training. Listen to our show, the Jeff Blair Show, Tim and Sid every weekday. Your chance to qualify. Win a trip for two to spring training. Flights, hotel, game tickets, and more. If you got the winning word this morning just after 6:30, we'll give it to you just after 8 o'clock. Doug McClain will be interesting coming up in about 8-9 minutes. Scott Housen was fired in Columbus. I wonder about the competitive disadvantage. Some people have tossed it out there. And I thought about it with some NHL teams, guys, because spring training's here and everybody loves this thing, you know, pitchers, catchers, and it's romantic and it's exciting. But let's face it, now that we are really, really excited about the Blue Jays, don't other years in the last 12, 14, 16 seem kind of like phony excitement in comparison? There are teams, I always love it when people in the media mostly do this. 30 teams, and they say everybody feels they've got a chance to win and make the playoffs when spring training happens. And I'm like, dude, there's like 8 Miami Marlins, Colorado Rockies, San Diego Padres, Minnesota Twins,
Houston,
Kansas City Royals might be 500. Should I keep going? Yeah, Houston, Seattle. Do I have to keep going? There's like 12 teams that I would almost guarantee you will not make the playoffs. And maybe I would have looked stupid last year, stupider, because Baltimore made the playoffs and Oakland made the playoffs. But there's always teams. So to transition that to the NHL, Columbus has never won a playoff game. They've made the playoffs once. Atlanta, Winnipeg has never won a playoff game. They've made the playoffs once. Nashville hasn't been entirely successful. Minnesota hasn't been very successful. Like, do these four teams have economic disadvantages just winning? None of them have done anything.
I know Minnesota shouldn't have an excuse with that arena and that fan base. It's a great hockey market. It's just bad management in some ways. A lot of these teams not putting enough good players to win.
Mike, did he not tell me last week fans do not influence wins and losses?
I think that
it doesn't matter how quiet the Air Canada Center is.
It's true.
It's good building though in Minnesota.
You're planting these landmines and you're stepping on them yourself. Let me do that for you. I do it well to myself. Doug McClain, Hockey Central next, and Jose Bautista's winning words. In addition to our winning words, we'll have a winner for Name That Leaf. It's all coming up, 7:15.
Now, more of Brady and Lang on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
7:22, Doug McClain in just a second. We found a winner, amazingly enough, for Name That Leaf. Jim, the clues again that were so difficult to figure out for us, Mike and I.
Member of the Hockey Hall of Fame, spent 3 years in Toronto, back-to-back 20-goal seasons. His first 2 years ended his career, a very distinguished career, with the St. Louis Blues.
Our worst guess, by the way, we should honestly get a sponsor for worst guess of Name That Leaf. And in another edition of I'll Never Forget, Brad Marsh. And I don't know what was more incredible. I mean, I did shed a tear. That day Marsh got elected into the Hockey Hall of Fame for his stellar stay-at-home defensive play and not wearing a helmet, plus the 20-goal seasons. I mean, I just...
He made those it look really so easy.
Those came out of nowhere for a guy who might put two or three in a year. When he went back-to-back 20 and 20, Mike, that was incredible when Marsh did that.
Did he even know where the net was?
We have
he
like
knew
his own
net. Well, yeah, exactly.
Tony and Whitby, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thanks. How'd you know, or who is that Leaf, by the way?
It's Glenn Anderson.
It is absolutely 1,000%. Did you enjoy Glenn Anderson as a player? Listen, if you hated the Oilers, you hated him, didn't you?
No, grew up just watching Edmonton all the time, winning all those cups, so enjoyed that.
Oh, you like that. Okay, who are you going to the game with Saturday?
My 6-year-old son.
Oh, phenomenal.
Awesome.
And he's a big Daniel Alfredson fan, you were telling us.
Mixed emotions, I guess.
Oh, it's okay. I was taking a wild stab at it there. Right, man after your own heart, Jim. You love how Alfie competes and plays.
Yeah, but I mean, if
you'll shed a tear when he goes into the Hockey Hall.
If you're taking your kid to the game, you have to have that rule. You cheer for the other team, son. You might have to walk home. I'm sorry. You got to cheer for the Leafs.
What if you're a transplanted Philadelphia, Pennsylvania native? What if you got a radio job? Not that we're wanting this to happen. What if you got a radio job in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the Leafs were playing the Flyers in a playoff series?
I'd have to wear my Leafs.
You're blushing.
Gear. No, I'd have to go. I'd have to.
No, who would you cheer for?
I'd have to cheer for the Leafs.
Okay, so now it's you understand. In my blood. Now you understand that guy has to cheer for Philadelphia.
Yeah, but it's his kids.
I just told.
I'm failed as a father. I admit. Don't be cut. I failed as a father.
No, you haven't. Absolutely not.
Because my daughter's a Penguins fan and mocks my Leafdom.
Doug McLean's our guest for a Sicily Honda Hockey Central analyst, Sportsnet 590 Hockey Insider. You got on the skates a couple weeks ago, the top prospects game, and you also coached Brad Marsh in his last couple seasons in Detroit. Who was getting from blue line to blue line faster, Doug?
Yeah, he feet weren't as strong part of his game. There's no doubt about that. But he was a fun guy to be around.
He was a great guy to be around. Yeah. We were just talking about some of the struggles in Columbus when John Davidson got there. Did you know the market very well and the team and help build it from the foundations? Was this inevitable for Scott Housen that John Davidson would not keep him? Anything surprising, timing or otherwise, about this, Doug?
Yeah, I think the surprising thing is that, you know, the ownership and President Mike Priest allowed him to make the Nash deal, and then 12 games later he gets fired. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't make, and you know, knowing full well they were going to be bringing in a John Davidson type of guy when the Nash deal was made, I'm just, you know, it's, I think that's the surprising point timing wise. I don't think there's any doubt JD would bring his own guy in, and you know, it's been a tough go for Scott since the day he got there, and it was all orchestrated by Priest and Hitchcock. The ownership wanted Hitch to be the hockey guy. They thought he was the hockey genius, and they wanted to bring in an inexperienced GM. Hitchcock wanted him, and well, it didn't work out very well. You know, all of a sudden, Housen and the ownership become tight, and Hitch is out. So it has been a tough time, no doubt about it.
The way the franchise is currently constituted, Doug, with the ownership and senior management, no matter who is hired as the new GM, can he make it work?
Well, you know, with Kukkonen going in there as the new GM, and it, you know, it'll be announced shortly. We said it last night, is that, you know, he's going to be a super scout. Without a doubt, a super scout type of GM, and JD will call the shot. So it's just a little bit of a different setup, but you know, Kukkonen's got a history of being a scout and a good scout from Ottawa to St. Louis, and JD will be the boss. So you know, it's a little different setup, but I think it'll probably be 100% better than it's been.
When we look at, Doug, Columbus, Nashville, Minnesota, Atlanta, now Winnipeg, there's been struggles for all those teams. I mean, Minnesota, this and that, and all the sellouts, and yet they haven't won a playoff round since 2002. So it 2003. It's been a struggle. You can sign players. You can trade for players. Nashville got Peter Forsberg to play there. You were able to sign a great player like Adam Foote, trade for Sergei Fedorov. But do those four markets have anything in common with why it's just been really, really difficult?
Well, Minnesota's a little different because they have pretty solid revenues, although they're losing a ton of money right now. The challenge is financially, how do you really compete? You know, when your owner's writing checks for $25 million, you know, we saw Columbus 2 years ago go crazy and go to $63 million payroll and finish 30th in the league. You know, so the challenge is revenue. It's simple as that. Nashville and keeping players long term. I mean, we saw the Weber situation, we saw the Suter situation. I mean, it's really challenging to keep your players long term if you get stars. So,
and you got a draft like Housen's first draft. He misses on Filatov, and every GM misses, but that's a bad year to miss, right? When you got below him, you know, guys like Wilson and Hodgson and Myers and Carlson and Delzato and Eberle. That was a bad draft to miss on.
Well, you know, it's funny. You look at go back and look at the drafts, and if you really look at it, the guys that Housen took, the guys that I took, those were the guys that were listed to go in that number. And sometimes they don't work out. I mean, we can talk all we want. I mean, Carolina just put Boychuk on waivers, and he was their first round pick, and Carlson was the pick after him. I mean, you know, it happens all the time that you miss on guys, you know, especially when you're picking up there. So sometimes you get lucky and it works out, you know. So I just think it's challenging for those markets, and hopefully it works out. There's no surprise that Scott's out with JD. He wants his own guy, and I understand it fully.
The Buffalo Sabres are in a bit of a tailspin right now, Doug. They're scuffling. There's pressure on. The fans are upset. The media is upset. Lindy Ruff's been there a long time. When does it finally come to an end for him in Buffalo?
Yeah, I flew out of Buffalo last Friday, and I read a terrible article on Lindy. It didn't sound very positive. It's his 15th year. It becomes pretty challenging. I think he's in tough right now. I hope he survives, but I think he's in tough. And to be quite honest, the best thing that could probably happen to Lindy is to get a chance to go somewhere else. I mean, when you're there that long, how many times can you reinvent yourself? And I think it's going to be challenging to turn that group around. They're just misfiring on too many cylinders to get it going.
Vancouver, everybody who speculated. I heard you guys with Mike Gillis yesterday. It was a great interview. And I cannot figure the people that were convinced it'd be a major distraction to have Luongo there. Saying that, as you noted with Mike Gillis, Luongo's been an absolute treat for them to have there. The idea would be distracting. The idea he wouldn't play well or Schneider wouldn't play well with Luongo there. None of that's happened. They won a game last night against a good team, and the Sedins don't even contribute offensively. It's all going right for them right now.
Yeah, they're a pretty good team, and they don't have Kessler and Booth playing.
Yes.
So they're going to be tough to beat, no doubt about it. And the goaltending is working out, but when things start to sputter there, and they will eventually go through some rough spots, the goaltending will become an issue again, and it's going to be an issue till he moves. I mean, Luongo is Mr. Personality now. I'm not buying it. I think it's a show. I think I don't think we're seeing the real Luongo. I think he's, to me, it's a bit of a show that he gets a chance that other people think he's a great guy and try to trade for him. So I'm not buying the great guy image right now. Sorry.
Did you see the assist Nash got last night? Makes a pass, cuts into the zone, in between the circles, and from his back, with his back turned. It was a lot like the Ovechkin goal he scored against Phoenix. Makes a behind-the-back pass well, basically on his tail end to Carl Hagelin for the goal. What a beautiful player and beautiful play.
Yeah, it was a heck of a play. There's no doubt about it. It was amazing to watch. And he hasn't finished the way I thought he would yet, but I think that'll come. But it was a heck of a play. It was a highlight reel, to be quite honest. And then to see Boston come back the way they did, tie it up, 3 goals and 2:40 in the last 2:40, and then to see the shootout winner. I mean, it was a bizarre game, but the Rangers are funny right now. They're just not quite hitting on all cylinders.
Doug, appreciate it. We'll be listening at noon. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
There's Doug McClain joining us on Brady and Lang for Sicily Honda. We are family driven. Quick on the Reimer injury. I find the language really interesting. Now, a lot of people said, hey, you guys, you're being irresponsible yesterday morning. You're talking about him being out 3 weeks. We made it pretty clear. It's a hypothesis when we're talking about it. I know, you were looking up Dwayne Rolison on LinkedIn, seeing what he was busy doing now post-hockey. You were going to give him a call to...
Wanted to text him.
Yeah, see if he wanted to, sit and wear a ball cap and take some warm-up shots while backing up Ben Scrivens. But don't you guys find it a little intriguing? He'll be out a minimum of 1 week. Now, when you get any kind of a strained ACL, and honestly, to me, a lot of people noted this on Twitter. They've gone to the doctor, your regular weekend warrior. Strained ACL, yeah, you can start doing things after a week, but you won't be 100% for a good chunk of time after that. And this will be the very interesting thing. I would be absolutely shocked if we're seeing James Reimer a week from when that injury happened, or a week from today, to see him in a game. I think this is going to be a couple weeks. It may not be three, but don't expect Ben Scrivens to just play 2 or 3 games. And God knows if he's playing well, why push James Reimer in at 75-80%, given how well he's played?
And in that time frame, the Leafs have a mini road trip in Florida Monday, Tuesday.
Next week, back-to-back. Right.
So you don't take him there.
Do you dress him? You can't dress a guy not ready to play as a backup either, and that's going to be the concern for them. I think Rinus will be back up tomorrow night. They'll take him to Carolina. He'll be backing up Saturday against the Sens.
But Monday and Tuesday, I would think that Reimer would need just some more therapy and more treatment to make sure he's 100% healthy for the Thursday game against Buffalo back at home.
That if that's what I'm saying. I fully expect Scrivens to play both games in Florida, and I'm quite good with that.
But don't take – Reimer would stay in Toronto and get treatment. He wouldn't even make
– if he wants some sun?
Oh, I guess
get some sun on the ACL.
Stick his leg out there in the heat, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's from Manitoba. You might want to get him like the 120 SPF.
Right.
Just in case.
He's never seen the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not – come on. He's not exactly – how would we put it? Sun inclined.
I'm George Hamilton sort of.
Yeah. He doesn't have that natural. Yeah. Larry Bird. No, actually, that's about what he is like, is Larry Bird. Later in the show, Wade Arnott, agent for Phil Kessel, will discuss Phil's future in Toronto. That's at 8:20. It's Grapevine next. Why enforcers are needed in the NHL. Jim will applaud. I will stand in the corner facing it like the end of the Blair Witch Project. But I'll still listen because it's Grapevine. It's Brady and Lang.
Now, more of Brady and Lang on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Raphael. Flag stays down. Van Persie's in here. And this time, he does score. RVP, bang on halftime. United, 2 goals clear and closing in on 12 points clear.
Honestly, a lot of great goals scored on the weekend. A lot of great scores, goals scored by Real Madrid all year long. Odds of our producer Ryan Favreau making sure it gets into a show, you know, like a rejoin, 0.8%, because he might make a mistake.
Right.
He might screw up.
He might be out at the coffee bar. How did that get on? 0.8%
of the time. I mean, do you cheer for the house in blackjack? Do you stand behind tables when everybody busts and clap?
Can we reveal the email he sent yesterday informing everyone in the morning show that you are forbidden to email, text, phone him during the match? Forget it.
So he's not going into media blackout, because I think Man United, Man City, he was going down to chop down a Christmas tree.
That's true.
And, and he said, no, I don't want to know anything about Man United. And then City mounted this furious comeback and gave up a late goal, which, yeah, they do every week. Thanks for that. Real Madrid, Man United, 2:45 today. Shakhtar Donetsk, the chic team a lot of people fell for in the early stages against Borussia Dortmund, who are tons of fun to watch. So it's all over Sportsnet today. Sportsnet Ontario has Real Madrid, Man United, first of two legs at the Bernabeu. They'll be back into Old Trafford in a couple weeks' time. Arsenal plays next week. Barcelona plays next week. Love how it's spread out. Jerry Dobson was on yesterday's coverage, including a big win for Paris Saint-Germain and Juventus, and he's kind enough to join us now. This is the match everyone's anticipating. Alex Ferguson says, gee, it's a shame they can't meet in the final, but we don't mind getting a mouthwatering matchup in the dog days of February like this early, do we?
Well, I guess it better be a good game after all the hype for this one. What if it's a dog? Then we'll all be pretty disappointed, won't we? I think it'll be a good one. I think it'll be a good one. I hope so.
Yeah, and strategically, the two-leg thing's very interesting. Everyone looked at Celtic yesterday, even Jerry, and said if they can just hang in, if they draw Juventus, you give yourself new life. Celtic was probably better off being at home. Does either team have an edge starting away or home when they're so evenly matched and they very well may be the two of the three best teams in the whole competition?
Well, there's always a big, I wouldn't say disagreement, but the differing of opinions about whether or not you'd rather have the first leg away or at home. I think the general consensus is you would rather have the first leg away and try to get something out of that, and then you know what you have to do coming home. I think you'd rather be in a position where you know what you have to do coming home than to know what you have to do away from home, because then it becomes that much more difficult. So I think the consensus is you'd rather have that first leg away, so that's what Manchester United have, and we'll see what they can do.
Well, yesterday in Soccer Central, Jerry, you guys were talking about the offensive wizardry of Manchester United and their firepower up front, but do they have the horses in the back to contain and control Ronaldo?
Well, that's part of the story, that's for sure, is trying to contain Ronaldo, because we know that Manchester United concede too many goals, especially early in games. In fact, I think it's 5 European games in a row they've conceded the first goal. And if they do that away from home today, it could spell trouble for them. So that you know that Real Madrid's plan of attack will be to go out and try and get that first goal and try and get it early and catch them a little bit asleep, because they have had defensive problems all season long. So that could be the test right there.
No Paul Scholes. They left him home. Any surprise there for veteran president? I mean, I watched Man United Everton Sunday morning, and it was well documented by the commentators. They knew Man City had lost the day before, and this was a chance to really bury them in the standings. So they played everybody. They didn't leave anybody out, knowing they had a huge match and a road match as well 72 hours later.
Right. I wouldn't be too surprised that Paul Scholes was left home. Scholes has become a part-time player, really. I mean, he is at the end of the line, and they're going to live or die with younger players. So I wouldn't read too much into that. If they get a decent result away, then they'll probably use him somewhat at home. But I think that they figure that that they just have better players in those positions. But I wouldn't read too much into that.
Is this almost Cristiano Ronaldo's? It's one of his shining moments, these two matches against this team, against Rooney, to prove what he is globally?
Well, he's always been in a position, or he's always been the kind of player who wants to be loved. And, you know, he wants to do well when it really matters, and he has had a history of doing that for his club, not so much his country, perhaps. But I think that he is looking at it from that point of view. It's his former team. He wants to do well against them. Keep in mind also, fellas, that Real Madrid have no chance of winning the domestic league in Spain this year. It's all about the Champions League. They must win the Champions League. And so there's that driving inspiration behind all of them, not just Ronaldo, but every one of them, to win the Champions League. But Ronaldo is the flag bearer, that's for sure, and he wants to do really well in front of what will be a huge worldwide audience.
Yeah, it's going to be great television today. SportsCenter here, Real Madrid, Man United on Sportsnet World. Pretty appetizing option as well, Borussia Dortmund and Shakhtar Donetsk. Let me ask you about Juventus. You Celtic fans won't like it, but Juventus benefited from getting Celtic and not somebody else in the quarterfinals. Are we underselling their ability to go deep in this tournament? When you have two giants, and you're like this Real Madrid, Man United, you're only going to have one emerge to go to the semifinals. Can Juventus sort of sneak up the middle and be one of these two teams at the end?
Well, it's hard to know, I think, because I think even the most ardent Celtic supporters would admit that their team is punching above their weight when it came to this point. Yes, they had that dramatic result, that fantastic result against Barcelona in the group stage, but that was lightning in a bottle. Juventus is a better team. Celtic were overmatched. They just didn't have the quality when it came to finishing. So for Juventus to beat Celtic may be hard to tell how good Juventus is when it comes to trying to win the Champions League. However, they're winning the Italian League. They have a 5-point lead over second place Napoli, and they're a good team. They're a veteran team. Andrea Pirlo, players like that, Marco Vucinic, they are a good, strong veteran team, and they do have the quality to take them deep into the competition. I think they're one of probably a handful of teams that think that they can win the whole thing, and we haven't seen that much over the years. Usually there's only a couple of teams that really think they have a legitimate shot, but there are several this year, and I think Juventus is one of them, along with the likes of Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Manchester United, Borussia Dortmund think they can win it. A lot of these teams think they have the quality, and Juventus is one of those.
Round of 16 play, 2:30 today, Real Madrid and Man United. It's on SportsCenter Ontario. Jerry, have a great broadcast. Lots of folks are going to be watching. We appreciate the time this morning.
No problem. Looking forward to it.
7:50, Jerry Dobson joining us on Brady and Lang, host of Soccer Central. You'll see that match a little bit later on. Quick to the NHL. We talked about all the comebacks last night. Rangers nearly blown up by Boston, in Boston with a big comeback there. We saw Montreal gag it away against Tampa. 3-0 they led. They eventually won in overtime. But what about Washington? We're starting to get the kind of play from Washington that we might have expected. I don't know where you guys picked them. I just thought Florida will come back to earth. Tampa might struggle goaltending-wise. That's actually not been where they've struggled. But I saw Washington as a clear winner in the Southeast. And don't look now, but they've happened to win a couple in a row. See Washington as a playoff team now?
Think they'll be there at the end? I'm holding judgment until middle of this month. They have a stretch of games.
What day and time? We want to be there when the judgment, like, honestly.
It'll be
Lance Ito?
Monday, February 25th, because they play the Rangers and Devils in three straight. It's Rangers and Devils, so they have three games against quality opposition.
Yeah.
I mean, beating Florida back-to-back is one thing. You beat the Rangers and Devils in three straight, and then we can talk about it. I'm still not convinced Washington has what it takes to be a playoff team? Or are they everything's in place where there's coaching, players, attitude, Ovechkin and everything and all that you need to have? But we'll see.
Like, Mike, I didn't have the Devils as a playoff team. They look like they're going to be a playoff team. And we're stupid when we do count them out, though they have missed before in the last several years. But take among the group Carolina, Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal. And out of those four teams, to me, a couple of them won't be there. A couple of them won't be there at the end out of Carolina, Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal.
I may have had all four of those teams out, actually, in my preseason predictions because I thought Ottawa would come back down to earth.
Philly's
as well.
Out, Buffalo's out, and Washington's out right now.
And Philly surprises the hell out of me. Washington, I'm still not buying stock in at this point, even though, again, preseason I did predict that they'd be better. But you got to show me that they've got the goaltending, that Holtby wasn't a flash in the pan in the playoffs last
year. He stole it in five last night, and they kept him in. They got down 5-3, and they didn't lift him.
Right.
Maybe that helped him get back in, and maybe it didn't. But, yeah, you won't give up five too often and win.
Nope.
We're not going to give up five against New Jersey or the Rangers or win, that's for sure.
And yeah. To Jim's point, I need to see an engaged Alex Ovechkin to really convince me that this team has turned a corner.
But it's like I said earlier to Rick Bucher about number one overall picks. Is Ovechkin always going to be judged against himself, or will we just eventually say, you know, and he'll be overpaid if he gets 35 and 35 every year for the next 10 years, but if he settles in, what if we just said he caught lightning in a bottle? We did that with Sergei Fedorov. He had a 120-point Hart Trophy season and was phenomenal defensive center in Detroit. He never touched those numbers again, but he was part of something that won. So we didn't judge Fedorov that harshly. Ovechkin's teams don't win, but do we kill him when he doesn't get 60 goals every year?
Well, part
is that
of
what's
it,
happening?
Part of it's my fault and all of our faults in the media for the
it's
way.
It's not your fault.
No, it really is. Because
this one's not.
We really built up this massive Crosby versus Ovechkin, the two greatest
yes,
stars in
thank
hockey.
You.
The face of the NHL. This is going to lead the NHL out of the wilderness of North American sports. And maybe Ovechkin is what he is now. Maybe he is 35 to 45 goals. Maybe can do a few other things, play physical, and we may never see a 120-point season out of him again.
And you're still going to end up seeing a guy score 650, 700 goals in his career. If he goes 30 a year the next 10 years till he's 36.
That's a tall order.
He's going to have 644 goals.
I still think we're measuring Ovechkin against Ovechkin.
And is it,
based on
is
what
it
he
fair?
Did early on. I think it's fair.
Why?
Why not? If you can do
in this
that,
era, you're going to score 65, 56 goal every who has done that?
No, okay.
60, two guys.
65, absolutely an anomaly. But if you can be pushing 45 to 50 regularly, consistently, if you're that good.
But why? We're also saying that the guys around him were pretty damn good also. Doesn't have Semin anymore. People can say what they want about him, but a great offensive player, helped put a lot of power play points in. Backstrom doesn't look the same. Green doesn't look the same. How many goals did Alex Ovechkin score because Mike Green was brilliant offensively? He's the guy that's the shell of his former self.
That's one of the great mysteries in hockey, how a guy who could at one time score 30 goals from the back end could be like that. Crazy.
All right, on the way. Yeah, exactly. So it's not your fault.
It really is. No.
CTV's fault. They showed that Ovechkin-Crosby thing like for an hour every Saturday night. Instead of like Hunter or Era.
Yeah, I blame CTV. That's a good point.
And honestly, instead of like Hunter and some of the other, Knight Rider. Were those shows still on back then when Ovechkin and Crosby were?
They're on FX.
Getting my eras confused. Wade Arnett is the agent for Newport Sports Management. He'll join us to talk about his client, Phil Kessel. You know the questions that are coming. It's Brady and Lang in the morning, 7:55.